Music and fun. Miskin Radio.
It's Wednesday between 7 and 8. It's the Kieran Paul Sessions. Last week, Nick Prater sat in for me and, quite frankly, did a better, far better job as I swanned off to watch Les Mis, which was awesome. But if you want to hear Nick with the Secret Crowd in the live session, listen again on the podcast, which, of course, you can find on iTunes. Today's show kicked off with Odd One Out from Good Karma and Emily Watts with Wait For You. Tonight, our guest is comedian Josh Masson. Welcome, Josh.
Hello.
And also on the mics, our producer Ben.
Hello.
Producer Vicky.
Hey.
And some bloke who presents before me called Jason. This show is slightly different for the old Valentine's Day. For about a year, we've been doing a feature called Worst Jobby Wobby, where we get our guests from the arts to tell us about their most terrible jobs they've done. And it got me thinking, I've done a few myself. So as well as hearing stories from Josh tonight, we're going to have my worst jobby wobbies, ranging from cleaning toilets to peeling potatoes to starring in a Bollywood film. There is an asterisk there, but more of that later. As for you, get in touch with us on Twitter using the hashtag TheKPSessions and see what we're up to as well throughout the show on Instagram and Snapchat. So, Josh, first of all, can you just tell us about the job where you could have died? Again, there is an asterisk there, sort of like you just cut your head.
But. Yeah. But it was still quite messy and scary at the time. But yeah, I used to my first job, actually worked at an art house cinema in the town where I used to work. I was about 16 years old. And it was a nice little place, had a nice little one screen and everything. But it was so small, they basically had the storeroom behind the main screen of the cinema. So I'd have to go down there. I was working as an usher, basically. So I'd have to go into that storeroom to get toilet roll or, you know, just anything for the cinema, basically. And, yeah, just one day I went down there. It was like a small little flight of steps that goes up there just behind it, because it's almost like an old stage. And so I was walking up there, grabbed some stuff, came back, and decided to sort of, quite unwisely, decided to jump down these little flight of steps instead of just walk like a normal human being.
Right.
And ended up clunking my head on the door. And so, yeah, so I sort of stood out in the car, I clunked my head, and I sort of stood there for a minute. I was like, oh, that really hurt. And then I started to feel like a sort of wetness on my head. And yeah, basically, yeah, noticed, oh, my head's bleeding.
And did your mum, isn't it like your mum had to come and get you?
Yeah. So basically I ran to the projection room afterwards where my manager was, because he was also the projectionist. It was very small. And I was like, yeah, I've had a bit of an accident in that sort of
Have you seen Austin Powers?
Austin Powers.
You know that scene with like where there's a projector and there's the silhouettes behind them?
Yeah.
Was it like that? So like there was the screen and then you could see yourself hit your head? Because that would have been fun.
Oh, that would have been awesome. I don't know if anyone could have seen. Luckily, there wasn't a film playing at the time.
Oh.
So, yeah, that would have been... Oh, I should have said there was, really, then just added to the drama. But no, there was not. But no, had to go there. Manager gave me a tea towel. I think the best... Had to call my mum to come and pick me up to take me to A&E. So I just remember getting into my mum's car holding this blood-stained tea towel to my head.
Did you get paid for that day?
I did, yes.
That's important.
Yeah, the guy who was running it was really nice. But yeah, I was, in fact, as I was getting into the car carrying this blood-stained tea towel, I actually tried to give the tea towel back to him.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't want to steal anything from work, you know. I was like, this is my first job.
That, no.
I was like, yeah. But he was like, no, you can keep that, Josh. It's okay.
And what happened with the shoes? What was that?
The shoes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I used to work in, when I was in uni, I used to work at a shoe shop that we'll nickname Sparks.
Right. Okay.
And
Classy.
Yeah, and it was yeah, but the manager there was quite I don't want to say tyrant, but tyrant is a very tyrant basically. Mm-hmm. very scary person, yeah. And basically I came in one day. I think I only had one pair of boots at the time and some trainers. So I only had one sort of pair of boots that I could wear in. And it had been raining. I came into work and they were a bit dirty. And my manager basically said, what's going on with your shoes? Took me into the stock room at the back and made me take my shoes off. And she then proceeded to clean them in front of me. Full view of all the other staff.
With the tea towel from the cinema?
No.
And then you had red shoes.
Yeah, that would have been scary if she'd pulled that out. Like, what's going on? Is this
is it both pairs she's cleaning? Both shoes she's cleaning, is it?
Or yeah, but it was literally both of them.
So you've got your shoes off.
Yeah.
In Sparks.
Yeah.
Right. With all the mirrors around on the floor. And you're in the back bit.
Yeah.
And your boss is cleaning your shoes.
Yeah.
And what happens, like, is it a ritual thing? Like, is it in front of everyone?
There were other people around. It wasn't like it wasn't quite that bad. She didn't like gather everyone around and was like, right, guys, you've got to come in. We're going to watch this. It wasn't some ritual.
But she did it like really in front of you. Like, she did it to like, did she do it to humiliate you?
It felt like that at the time. No. I don't know. I might have been reading more into it.
Did she do a good job? Was it good cleaning? Like,
to be fair, she did. Yeah. I mean, if you're the manager of a shoe shop like Sparks, you would expect to have some good
decent
shoe
polishing.
Cleaning ability. Yeah.
Well, yeah. She probably had a couple of good products there. Surely.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if she ran out of polish. There's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was sort of grateful in a way. She did do a good job, but it was just the standing there in my socks. And I remember actually saying at the time, I was like, yeah. I could do this myself. You don't need to do it. But she was very adamant. She was like, nope, I'm gonna, yeah. So yeah, that was quite.
And as well as being a comedian, apparently you're a magician.
Oh, according to some people, yes, yeah. Because I've done some leafleting before. Basically door to door leafleting. That's another thing I've done. Done many things. And basically the company you have to leaflet for, they give you like a map of the area you have to leaflet. So I remember I just accidentally walked onto some private property once, and I didn't realise it until somebody came out and was like, oh, what are you doing? You can't leaflet here. This is private property. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't notice it was on my map, etc. So I turned around, started walking away, and a guy followed me, and he was quite, yeah. And he just wouldn't leave it alone. He was like, oh, you're a smart-looking guy. You should tidy yourself up. Get a haircut. I was like, all right, mate.
Did you mean what? So like smart, clever? Because otherwise, that is a juxtaposition that would confuse you.
I mean,
massively. Hope
so. Yeah. I mean, I, but then you had to, mention the hair and everything. And I was like, I like my hair. So, yeah,
yeah,
I was really.
Well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin.
What's the magician?
But then he was like, oh, do you think you're something special? Are you a magician? And I was like, what's... I don't understand how we got here.
Was it like... Well, delivering your leaflets, was it like Harry... I keep quoting films. Was it like Harry Potter with the owls and like loads of letters? Was that why? Were you sending like thousands of letters into the...
See, it would have made sense if it was like that. If I had an owl with me that was helping me to deliver the leaflets, then that would make sense, him bringing up the whole magician thing. But I was like, no, mate. If that was... If I had the magic powers, then I would, I'd make you disappear, and I'd make myself disappear, and put me in this horrible situation. But yeah, he was just, oh God.
So we're gonna be going through some of the weirdest, worst jobby wobbies that I have done. Producer Ben, you've got a list in front of you. Is it like so? You and Producer Vicky and Jason and Josh are going to sort of be firing questions at me about them. And we're going to be hearing more stories from Josh as well. But Ben, are there any highlights that you see that you want to know about?
The Eastbourne Cross Country Marathon.
That's boring.
Milk monitoring jumps.
Milk monitoring, now that's crucial. That was when I was seven. That was really important. Year three, Miss Shaw.
The Agony Aunt series.
Now that's cracking. I'll be telling you about the Agony Aunt series that I was a part of with a man in Leeds. After this, on Miskin Radio, you can get in touch with us using the hashtag the KP Sessions. We've got more from our comedian Josh Mason here on Miskin Radio.
Hi, I'm singer-songwriter Maya Shahabi, and you're listening to the Kieran Paul Sessions.
That is the beautiful track Fake from the Brereton's of Tunbridge Wells. So we've got Josh Masson, comedian, with us. Also, we've got producer Ben, producer Vicky, and Jason Jandu, who of course presents the afternoon show. We've got them all in the studio. We've also got stuff all over Instagram and Snapchat if you want to see us as well. We're talking about the worst jobs, basically, we've ever done, featuring, the worst jobby wobby that we always do every week. We're doing it for the whole show. I've given them all a list of the weirdest jobs I've ever done. So producer Ben, pick one. Fire at me, and I will tell you why it was a strange, peculiar job.
I'm going to say the milk monitoring.
So milk monitoring, right. So, at primary school, were you never a milk monitor? Josh, were you ever a milk monitor at school?
No.
Isn't that right? Like, milk monitor. Jason Jandy was a milk monitor. Jason Jandy, what did you do when you were a milk monitor?
Handed out the milk.
So there you go, that's all it is. After play.
Yeah, after play, absolutely.
Yeah. So me and Danielle, right, would do it. And I just always remember me and her doing it. And you would go down to like the fridge by the main reception and just carry the milk up. That was my first ever job, about 7 years old. And I did it really well.
Did you carry it in a crate?
No, we just carried it. And you carry it in plastic, and then one would always leak, and you'd always have milk in your hand.
Yes, yeah.
Did you never have milk at like at break time, Josh?
What? No, I don't. I didn't know. Yeah.
Did you have milk at school?
I didn't know this was a thing.
Goodness me.
Yeah. At preschool, we had milk and biscuits, but not at like primary school. Mm.
Producer
school,
Ewan, who is still at school, do you know about? Nod? Yes? No? You didn't have milk?
I'd have packed
lunch.
He's
in secondary school. They're not going to hand out milk now.
No, but at primary school. Yeah. Oh, that's what I... In year out, reception. You didn't have it in any other years?
No.
What is happening in education right now? That was my first job, milk monitoring. I did a really good job of it as well. Thank you.
I mean, don't milk it.
Right, let's move on. That's curdled. Any others?
I'd say the Eastbourne Cross Country Marathon.
Oh, I peeled potatoes for a couple of days. Yeah, that was my job. I peeled potatoes and had to put baked beans in them for the cross country runners, the marathon runners, 26 miles.
Wait, what?
So what, like jacket potatoes?
Yeah. So like we had a kit, like, so there's loads of runners, right?
Wait, kind of in jacket potatoes. You don't peel jacket potatoes. They have the jacket.
Well, how do you fit the beans in then?
Do you put beans with raw potatoes?
I don't know.
What were you feeding these people?
I think they were just tricking me there. Yeah. Because I peeled the potatoes. But because the whole point, when you run a marathon, right, you have to get like loads of carbs, is it?
Carbs.
So beans and like Mars bars and stuff like that. And my job was to get all the potatoes ready. But that's a good point. I was peeling them.
But what were they used for?
Jackie, but I don't understand this. Were they just...
It kind of been jacket potatoes.
No, because they wouldn't skin the jacket potato.
Maybe they were just throwing them at the people who came last.
Maybe. This is madness. Yeah, but why go to the effort of skinning them?
Is that more humiliating to have a skinned potato thrown at you?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah. Or milk.
Did they have to walk across the beans and peeled potatoes?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Basically, those two jobs, I was in charge of milk and potatoes, and it seems that both of them, I did them wrong.
They just were trying to get you out of the way. They were like, we're going to stick Kieran in the corner with all these potatoes that we don't need. Don't speak to us.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Potato peeler. For no reason. There you go. Never peel a jack of potato. Next one.
Can I suggest one? There's one here very vaguely marked cleaning.
Yeah. Yes, I was a cleaner. Oh, yeah. Right. So I cleaned a Catholic school, right? A Catholic primary school for a bit. And I thought I vacuumed up a little Jesus once, but it was just like a rook from chess, so it was fine. But I panicked so much because I had to like empty the bag, and then it was just a rook from chess. But I thought it was like a little monument of Jesus.
It's like when people see Jesus in like slices of toast and stuff. You saw it in a chess piece.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And a rook's a good one, isn't it? What's the rook in chess?
Is that a bishop?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
No, it's a knight, surely.
No, don't be silly. You're being silly. That's madness.
What is a rook?
A rook is... Yeah, the rook is the one that goes sideways and upwards.
That's the bishop.
No, the bishop goes diagonally.
That's the knight. That's the castle.
Yeah, the castle. The castle is a rook.
The castle.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's the one that you turn around to be a queen. There you go. See? You don't just learn about my jobs on this show. You learn about chess. Any others?
Agony aunt.
Right, now. So this is really popular in Saudi Arabia, supposedly, right? I saw like a voiceover job, and it was this bloke in Leeds that... like puts on a voice like this and becomes an agony aunt, and we recorded it over Skype, and he had a far more like amusing voice than me. But basically, he pretends he's a woman and he becomes this character and this agony aunt, and we would talk about quite serious topics. I would read the letters out, like, and this was done via Skype, so I would read the letters out, record it mine, and I'd have him like on the phone, and I had to edit it all together and release it. And apparently it's really popular in Saudi Arabia. I never met him. Top man though, really nice man. And he's like known within like sort of the agony aunt psychotherapist, that sort of, I don't know, world, but and like relationship management sort of thing. But yeah, that, and it was quite cool. So I had to read the letters out.
And it was just a guy putting on the voice for it, though.
Yeah, it was.
A bit like Drake and Josh, when Josh would do the agony aunt for the paper and dress up as a woman. He would just sit in his room to make him feel like in the zone.
I don't know Drake and Josh.
Nobody gets my Drake.
No.
Nobody got my reference. No.
Ewan, do you know what Drake and Josh is? Ewan doesn't know. If Ewan doesn't know, we're not going to know. But was it a good Drake and Josh episode, though?
It was like the pilot.
Oh, there you go. All right, fair enough. Any others? Josh?
Yeah. I'm curious about about your time working at Radio 2.
Right, yes. Yeah. So I used to go and collect guests, right? And do you know Hugh Fearnley Whittenstall, the chef?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, so one time, like, so I booked him, right? And I kept ringing him to check that he was in the cab. So he was meant to be coming on, and he was running late, right? He had 10 minutes to go until he was on air. And I kept ringing him. I was like, Hugh, are you in the cab? Please confirm that you're in the cab. And he says, Kieran, I'm in the cab. Do not worry about it. So I'm like, right, I'm just going to ring the taxi driver as well, just to check that Hugh Fearnley Whittenstall is in the right cab, right? So I ring the cabbie and I'm like, hey man, like, can you just tell me that Hugh Fernie Whittingstall is please in your cab? And all I hear from the back is, Kieran, I just told you I'm here! Like, because he put it on speakerphone. So Hugh Fernie Whittingstall must have thought either I'm the biggest moron or I thought he was the biggest moron.
Yeah,
he
I
would have got in the wrong cab.
It seems like you didn't trust him.
No, I know.
Does he give off that vibe when you watch him?
No, not at all.
He seems untrustworthy. Yeah.
And do you know, there's a football manager called Neil Warnock, right? He's like quite grumpy, right? He's known for being a grumpy football manager. And I had to ring him once because he used to be a chiropodist. And I was doing a health health show about ingrown toenails. So I rang up this like football manager saying like, can you come on and talk about ingrown toenails? How like you have to deal with it with the players? And he picked up the phone and went, hello? And I was like, hi, like, I'm Kieran from Radio 2. I want to talk about ingrown toenails on Radio 2. And he just went, not for me, son. And then just put the phone down. that was about a 5-second conversation with Neil Warnock. There you go. Any others? Can we do Star Wars?
Star Wars.
I mean, we've heard you tell the Star Wars story about 5 times.
Oh.
You can tell the listeners.
To be fair, I haven't heard it, so.
Oh, well, if you've
heard. And me neither, no, so yeah. I'd still be interested.
Ben, have you heard it?
No, I haven't. I don't know what you're talking about.
You've definitely. I could tell this story for
right,
you.
Right, go on and Vicky, off your pop. Go, fire away. Remember, you're me, so pretend you're me. Get into character now. Go.
So, no, you just knew that they were looking for actors roughly around your age, and it was in London, and there was just big queues, and you just went, and then you saw some of the people who ended up getting the role when you were there.
You're embarrassing yourself now, Vicky. No.
Well, to be fair, she is trying to be you, Kieran.
You're in a queue with, like, hundreds of people.
Thousands, yeah. So, basically, right, Star Wars, like, a couple of years ago, before, like, the first film come out, they had this like publicity stunt where they said they were going to have open auditions for like people to turn up. Anyone could get the main role of Star Wars, right? The main female role or main male role. All you had to be is between like 16 and 25 and you had to be athletic. So I was like, right, I'm on this. Never acted before, right? And I went there and there was about 60,000 people. It was at Twickenham Rugby Stadium. We were all queuing up. I've never really seen Star Wars before. Right, everyone's like singing the theme tune, and they're all dressed up as like Star Wars characters because they're all really big fans. I'm Wikipediaing the Star Wars plot as I go around because I genuinely don't even know like the names of characters and stuff, or like the name of the actors. And all it was that there was you went through a tent. It was 3 hours of queues. Went through a tent, and it was just one man on the left, one man on the right, and you just walked through them for 2 seconds, and they either gave you a card to say go through to the next stage, or didn't, and no one got a card. It was just a publicity stunt. But it was so cold, I had to get there at 6 a.m.
Ooh.
I know. But I can say I went for a Star Wars audition, but they didn't invite me. But yeah.
So it's literally just 2 seconds. They just looked at you
walked
and
through
like, this
a tent,
is, yeah.
And like you walked, there was loads of us, yeah? And we had to go single file. Yeah. As I say, 60,000 people that looked like me. 60,000 young people like me and you, yeah? You know, all of us in here, right? And and they were just looking for someone, obviously, that looked a particular thing. Or it was just a total publicity stunt to get people talking about Star Wars, which a lot of people said it was. Because there was a Big Bang Theory episode about it as well, where Howard goes for it.
But if you'd got the role, then you wouldn't have said it was a publicity stunt.
Man.
This is just because you didn't get through.
I mean, I walked so well. Like, no one walked through that tent as well as me. And, like, I Wikipedia'd everything I could.
You do have a very pronounced walk. I've seen it.
I would have done that role really well. But the John chap, who's the actor, I can't remember his
John
surname.
Boyega.
Who is brilliant. I couldn't have done anything.
Yeah, he has a nice walk.
He's
a good walk.
Walk.
Yeah.
Like, it was his walk, wasn't it?
Mm.
But that was that one. Any others?
The sports fan in me is directed towards Wembley Stadium.
Oh, right. So, this is another job, right, that I did. You know when, like, England play the football and at the beginning of the game, everyone lift up a piece of card and it will just make a great big, like, picture around the stadium. You ever seen that? So, like, an England flag, yeah, massive, right? So I used to put those on the seats. So there's 90,000 seats in Wembley Stadium, and I would be like one of 30 people that would go through the whole stadium putting these like cards on the seats, and we know which card to seat to put it on because we've been told. So like it's all marked. So someone works it out, and then that tells us right, you need to do these certain seats. You need to do this. So we all do like I don't know like 8,000 seats each. It takes all day, but you can shout from one side of Wembley to the other, and you can be heard. So it's very bizarre. You know, this is a stadium with 90,000 people, and we would shout like, John, like, have you done over there? John, do you want to go for lunch? And it would be from literally one end of Wembley to the other. And it's the biggest stadium in the UK. That was a cracking job. Like, if next time you watch something like that, yeah, silly sods like me have gone around putting all the cards down.
Were you tempted to go onto the pitch at any point?
Right, so I did walk around clapping the crowd like that. You know, like you do when you play. I definitely did that a couple of times. We did walk around the thing, but you weren't allowed on the grass. Like, they would have just like gone nuts. So no, I'm afraid I didn't. But that, yeah, that was a good one.
There's also a tennis tournament here that you were a steward at, it says here.
Right. So I was a steward at the Aegon International, which is in Eastbourne, because I went to university there. And there's a Japanese tennis player. I've forgotten his name. Very short. Always wears a bandana. In the top 10. Right. And I was escorting him out. And at the same time I was escorting him out, I'm about sort of, he came up to sort of my shoulders, maybe a little bit less. And I was walking out with him at the same time that all these Japanese press photographers were like taking photos. So I would have been in loads of photos with this Japanese player. And they probably assumed that I was some sort of like bodyguard. And really, I was just patting him on the back saying, unlucky. I was just like, you know, because I was like, oh, you played really well. But I sort of had my hand on his back at the same time as they were there.
So if you ever go to Japan, you expect to be mobbed at the
airport.
Isn't
there a song called I'm Big in Japan? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, yes, there is. 80s song.
Go on. Yeah. Any others? Come on.
I'm most intrigued by a weekly quiz because I would love to go on a quiz night.
Yeah, so me and Josh both host quizzes for a company that is run by a chap that was on The Apprentice, and comedians just run quizzes, don't we? It's great. We just read quiz questions. Last week, I hosted one in Longfield, and my old history teacher was genuinely one of the teams, and there was a history round, meaning that I got to mark my history teacher's history round.
Ooh.
Quite fun. Yeah. You learn a lot.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the questions from last week? So basically across the country, we'll ask the same questions throughout. So tomorrow night I'm hosting one. You're on Sunday.
Yeah.
But it will be the same questions across the country.
Mm.
And do you remember any questions from last week? I don't remember any.
Yeah. There was one about the moon landings, about the first... Who were the first five people to land on the moon? Yeah, and I remember just walking around during the break, and this guy just came up to me as I was handing out the sheets, and was like, "Yep, moon landings were filmed in California." Mm. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to have this conversation."
Right, we're going to have one more job, and then we're going to play a little advert and a song. So, anyone pick a job.
Listen 2015. That's what it's titled.
Right, so this is a live music event, right? And One Day Elliot from Maidstone and Paul of the band, right, goes on stage. So I'm basically hosting, I'm introducing people. He walks on stage on his own, right? And the rest of his band are a bit miffed because he's the only one that's walked on. And they don't understand what's going on, right? They think he's trying to hog the limelight or something. He goes on, starts singing a song. He's getting really nervous, right? You can see he's nervous. Basically, he starts singing a song to his then girlfriend and proposes to her on stage because she's in the audience, right? So, and she says yes. Everyone's like, this is amazing. Everyone's clapping and whooping. Everyone then goes over to that side to congratulate them. I am left to tell jokes to the promoter, who is the only one left in the entire audience because everyone's sodded off to go and congratulate them. I was the only one, so I had to tell jokes to their promoter.
Did he laugh?
No, because he was too busy trying to get over to Paul because he's one of his best mates. But I think he just realised that he felt sorry for me. I was honestly, it was the most bizarre thing. And I had to go back on stage and try and get attention back. You can't get, who's going to want to look at me when someone's just done something beautiful like that? Sung to his girlfriend and proposed. But ruined my punchline. But, you know, there you go. Right, so we've got Josh Masson here and he's going to be telling you a few more stories and then we're going to be doing a couple more Worst Jobby Wobbies. Let's play a quick track. It's from Aid Lewis. It's called Just Let Me Go. Remember, you can get in touch with us on Twitter using the hashtag TheKPSessions.
We are Evie! And you're listening to
Kieran Poole Sessions!
So we're joined by comedian Josh Masson. We've also got all the producers on the show, as well as the wonderful Jason Jander of The Afternoon Show, and producer Ewan's doing all stuff on Snapchat and Instagram if you want to see any photos and videos from tonight. Now, Josh, I mean, we've spoken at comedy gigs before sort of about nerves and sort of self-doubt, anxiety. It's very normal in comedy, in art as well, but like, is it something that happens with you a lot?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm quite I'm a bit of a shy, sort of socially anxious person anyway. So yeah, it's definitely that. So
you take that anxiety on stage, don't you? Like as part of
I think I managed to like you know, turn it into material and get jokes out and stuff. So I think you just got to sort of own it in a way. Mm. And yeah, I think sort of managing to do that. So
like
yeah,
Mark Watson does it very well. Like the Welsh, no, he's from Bristol, isn't he? I think he's Welsh. People think you're from Bristol, don't they?
I was quizzing the other week, some guy asked me if I was from the West Country, and I was like, no, I don't know why people think that. I'm from East Anglia. I'm from the opposite side. I don't.
Yeah, but a lot of people say they do sound very similar when you go across the country. But I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm rubbish. So the reason we were talking about sort of sort of social anxiety. What happened on the bus yesterday with you?
Oh yeah, no. I was meant to be going to a gig last night, and yeah, I was waving down a bus. And I wasn't really paying attention, so I didn't realise that I'd waved down the wrong bus. And so it stopped, and I thought, oh, damn, this is the wrong bus. But I didn't want to annoy the driver, so I just got on anyway. And I stayed on for a further two stops because I didn't want him to think I was lazy.
You and the bus driver on the bus?
It was like sort of early evening, so there wasn't a lot of people around. So I was sort of sat near the front. So I thought, if I get off at the next stop, then there was like two people at the back as well. And I thought, if everyone, you know, they're definitely going to notice.
Was it like a taxi though? Like with just you and him?
Almost, yeah, yeah. It was just, yeah, he was sort of sat there and yeah, I was a bit further back. Yeah,
Did you get, you got off like two, what happened? You got off two bus stops later?
Yeah.
And where did you need to get off, though?
Well, to be fair, I was able to, yeah, I was sort of able to correct myself. It wasn't, yeah, and managed to, yeah, luckily, yeah, found another stop where the bus I did need to get on stopped. So, yeah.
Did you do the gig?
I did end up doing it. Yeah, I did get there in time. It was okay. Yeah, so it was, yeah.
What's it like as well? Like, do you ever think, like, when something like that happens, do you think it's a risk to then put that in the stand-up, in the material? You know, if something happens like that, so, like, beautifully sort of comedic just before a gig, do you ever think, you know what, I'm just going to talk about that tonight?
Yeah, it is always a risk because you still, I mean, it might be funny to you, but you don't know if it's funny to other people, yeah. I think I'm more of a writer. I prefer to sort of write my material down, go on stage and do it. Sort of the idea of actually going on stage sometimes and just talking about something that's just happened to me, that could be quite scary. But yeah, I'm trying to get better at that. Yeah, I think it's good to be brave. Yeah,
because you've got like a series of one-liners as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do a lot of short jokes and stuff like that. So yeah, yeah.
Producer Ben, let's fire away with some more worst jobby wobbies.
I know you want to be asked about it. It's a Bollywood film.
No, I don't. I don't boast about that. I'm in a Bollywood film all the time. No? I'm in a Bollywood film, Josh. I'm in a Bollywood film. It was filmed in Portsmouth, and it was at an old World War One or Two big hospital, and we had to wear polka dot pyjamas, white pyjamas. There's a photo of it. I'll get a photo up, and we'll whack it up on Instagram and Snapchat as well. And they were really thin pyjamas. It's in October by the Solent, so by the sea, yeah? Freezing cold, and we're all dancing. There's about 100 of us that clearly aren't Indian, and we're all dancing, and I was the most annoying part of it, right? At the break, like when we got to eat, there was like these really nice curries, okay, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. Went to get one and they were like, no, you can only have a curry if you're Indian here, right? So there was I had to go and get fish and chips, right? But they told me it was because the curry would have been so spicy that I wouldn't have been able to take it, because like the constitution of, like, you know, our food, like, because Indian food is very different to our Indian food. So like apparently, like, if I had it, I would have been really ill. But I was really annoyed because I was like, oh, I want it, like, really want, like, they look really nice. And then, yeah, I had to have fish and chips instead.
But would you have not just liked to have been given the opportunity to taste this?
No, but I'm rubbish with spicy food. And I think they were only looking out for us, by the way. Like, but it was just really frustrating. And they were, like, they kept dropping the cameras. It was a complete shambles. Yeah, so many, like, cuts and stuff, which is normal in the acting world, you know, it's normal in acting, as I know. but yeah, like, they kept dropping the cameras. It was an absolute shambles. Absolute farce.
But the bottom line is, you are in a body.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm in the. I've never seen the actual film, right? But I'm in the trailer three times.
What is the name of the film?
Humshuckles. It's been made like six times, right? And it's like a massive, like a really big Indian film that's been made six times. I don't know what the equivalent is. There a film in this country that's been made like loads of times? There must be. Like,
do you mean like remade?
Yeah, remade. Like, yeah, yeah. Like loads of different times.
Would you want to watch
How do you know you're in it if you're in the trailer? Because there's a lot of movies where they put stuff in the trailer that doesn't actually make
it. Cut out.
No, you can't be saying that to me.
But you said you haven't watched it.
Yeah.
But you also said you were very sad that you didn't get to try the food, but you can't handle spicy food.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know. I would have, honestly, like, I'd have been so ill.
Do you want to watch it, though?
Yeah, I want to watch it. Yeah. Mm. I mean, that could be a group activity. Do you want to do it? Should we watch it sometime? Josh, do you want to come over and watch the film?
I don't know. Yeah.
He's got a bus to catch.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Whether it's a right bus is a different matter.
You'll probably end up watching the wrong DVD as well. But I'm a cracking actor. They put me right at the back as well, right? Like,
but that's because
I am. No, it's not. It's because basically they told you to dance in a crazy way, right? So they kept going more crazy, more crazy, more crazy. Come on, be more crazy.
So they thought you were an amazing actor, yet they put you at the back.
Oh yeah, but it's because like when you've got talent, like you don't. I wouldn't want to like.
They
do
didn't
you know
want.
What I mean?
They didn't want you to. Yeah, they didn't want to like get in the way of the
two main
of the
like Bollywood actors, right? Like I walk past them. Like I don't know anything about Bollywood, right? And there were the two actors, main actors. I just walked past them. They were nice chaps. One of them is like the grandson of a really famous Indian cricket captain, right? Like captained the Indian cricket team. And then the other one is a prince in India. They're massive. And I had no idea who they were. And nor did anyone really, because it was just like extras work. I was an extra, not an actor. But
why
I mean,
was
the same
it being
thing.
Filmed in Portsmouth?
Because they wanted to use that World War place, I think. Okay. Or, you know, because Portsmouth's very much like India. I mean, it was so cold. It was so cold. I'm going to find a photo. I'm going to get it to you, and so you can put it up on Instagram for people to see. But yeah, it was so cold. What are the other ones?
Well, we've got Chinese online teaching here, which is sort of similar theme.
Right, now this. Okay, so I. Here we go. Right, there we go. This is the photo. I just said, there you go, to radio. That's the most redundant thing I think I've ever done. But basically,
it's an audio only medium.
Ewan, can you please take a photo of the screen and put that on Instagram, please? That is me and one of my co-stars, but that is what I had to wear. So can you see how like thin that is? That was all we're wearing. And it's so cold. It was at the Royal Hospital Hassler in Gosport, 18th of September 2013. That is what we wore, right? Anyway, so the Chinese. Speaking things. So I was offered, you can teach English online, okay, to like countries which want to learn English. So I got a job originally teaching English to people in South Africa, right? But then I had to turn it down because something else came up, right? Where basically I would have been on my laptop at home via over Skype teaching them English, like conversational English. Then for various reasons, I had to sort of apply again because I didn't have any more work. And for some reason, they didn't want me back in Bollywood. So, or at Radio 2, or hosting the Listen Thing, or the Agony Aunt, or at Star Wars. So, there was this teaching English to Chinese people, right? And I was like, yeah, cool, this would be good. But the time difference is a bit iffy, because I would have to do like really strange times. So I had this Skype interview with someone that I think was 14, right? He looked 14, he probably wasn't, but he was so young, and he interviewed me. And like he was basically this young Chinese guy interviewing me how good my English is. And I was sitting there, and it was the most bizarre interview I've ever had over Skype. It was in Beijing. And I just decided not to do the job because I just didn't really understand. I didn't really understand the company.
Do you not have to know Chinese to teach them English?
Oh, like, yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. But as if I can blag being in a Bollywood film, I'm pretty sure I can blag another language. Yeah. Probably not.
Is that why the interview didn't go well? It was
no,
just,
probably
it was
not. Just, no, yeah. It was so honestly, like, it was so strange. Next one.
The game trial.
This is the most excruciating moment I've ever had in my life. All right. So you know when you I come out of university and I just wanted like a retail gig. Yeah. So I went to Game. You know the shop Game. Probably should call it Fame. I went to the shop Fame, right? And they sell loads of Fames and BS3s, right? And Z box 10s. Oh, I don't know. It's whatever. What's the opposite to a box? Cube? Cubes. Z cubes.
A cube is a box.
Yeah. It's just...
As they sell the Z circle 10s, yeah? And basically, I don't know anything about games, all right? I think what we can understand is I jump into things which I don't understand, right? Clearly, I'm willing to do things, right? I'm one of the triers, okay? And there was this job, so I got through the group stage because I can sort of, you know, the group interview, I got through that because you just had to show you can talk in front of other people, and I'm pretty confident I could do that. And then the interview with the boss, right? And he asked me for my favourite gaming character. I've only played FIFA, that's it. So I said Lionel Messi, the footballer, right? He's not really a game character, is he? Right? So he didn't really like that answer. And then... he said that I had to go on a trial on like the shop floor and sell the Z circle 1060 and the BS10 to customers, right? Not knowing anything about them. So this poor lady came up to me. She was asking me the difference between the two. All I could come up with was the price, right? And the manager was overlooking me and he just came over to me and went, "Kieran, I think you should leave." And he escorted me out. And like, And I've never gone in since. It's Gaming Blue Water. I've never gone in since. I'm terrified of the shop still. It was most, you know when you want the world to like absolutely swallow you. But I thought I should have like stayed as a customer and then gathered all the info I needed and then like gone up to another another trainee and just asked them and then come back. But yeah,
is Bessie still your favourite game character?
Yeah, I think so.
My favourite part of that story is how difficult it sounded that you found it to come up with these fake cover names for the things. Though probably realistically that was what you called them because you have no idea about what they are.
Fake names? What? and like the other guy, the other trainee that was like having the same trouble, he had a Mario jumper on. So I had no chance, did I? Like, I had no chance. He had a Mario jumper
on. But you recognised Mario. Why didn't you say Mario was your
favourite game character? Because everyone always says Mario. So I thought Lionel Messi, you know, the footballer on FIFA.
Do realise that now you've told us you've not been back there since, we will get you back there now. We will drag you back there.
I like games. Like, I like the shop. I like the shop fame because I like looking at the fames. But I don't buy them.
You just like the pretty colours.
I just like the pretty colours and I like Lionel Messi. Yeah.
There are people who walk into jewellery shops just to look at the diamonds but never actually would be able to afford them. But
I reckon I could sell diamonds. Like, I don't know how hard's a diamond to sell. I don't know.
Well, how would you describe a diamond to someone you were trying to sell it to?
Okay. Hello, sir. Welcome to the diamond shop. What would you like today?
I'd like a diamond ring, please.
Okay. Here's my colleague over there. She'll help you.
So you want to be one of those greeters where they sort of go, welcome to, like in America, those big supermarkets.
I could have done that.
Welcome. Please enjoy your shop.
Welcome to fame. Here we go. There's all lots of fames here. There you go. I thought I could have been doing that, but I didn't.
You really are wasted not to be in retail.
Kieran, I think you should leave. Honestly, like, I don't know if anyone's ever said that to you before, but that is not a nice thing for someone to say. I'd rather have him said, like, swear word off, because that would have made, like, I would have been like, fair enough, mate, sorry. Like, because he felt like, I felt like I'd let him down. And I think they laughed when I left as well. I think they laughed, Josh. I think they laughed. You know.
Yeah.
Why were they so keen to actually escort you away from the... They thought you were tainted just by being there.
Probably.
They just couldn't have you in the building any longer. To be fair,
they probably lost a customer in the woman that asked me about the difference and all I could tell her was the price. She could have told the difference between the price. She was probably aware of the difference in the price, hence why she wanted to know the differences in order to make a better purchase.
She knew the fact that they were two separate things. You probably thought they were the same thing, just a different version.
There you go.
It's a different price band.
But I hope one day I will go back. I need friends. I need my family and friends to support me. That's all I need.
We'll hold your hand.
It was in 2013. That was, and I said no. It was December 2013, just before the Christmas rush.
You're not bitter at all. You haven't remembered the specific day, time, location.
I literally run past it. I run past it every time I go past it. Like,
do you remember the exact time? What was the weather like on the day that they escorted
I remember it. I don't really remember the weather too much. I remember I got on the wrong bus. Because I saw Josh on it. But no, I didn't. I don't remember.
The gateway to your community. Miskin Radio.
Hello, Kieran here.
And Ben.
Yeah. Thank you for downloading. Do click subscribe so you get a free podcast delivered straight to your device as soon as it's out. Also, if you get your podcast on iTunes, do give us a star rating and a review. Even if it's bad, maybe. Yeah, even if it's bad.
How about saying, be a star and give us a rating?
No.
Oh. But also, give us a follow on Instagram and Snapchat.
Just search to KP Sessions.
Maisie's here! She's our new member of our team, Ben. Maisie's lovely.
What's her role?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh.
She just sits in, watches.
Eats crisps.
Ooh.
Ooh. Sharing is caring. Just remember that.
Probably that time we stopped recording now, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a show to do.
Maisie, can I have a drink?
No, get it yourself.
Oh, actually, Ben, we didn't put you in. Can you like pretend to be coming through the door? Slam the door now. Slam it. Oh, Ewan's just arrived. Hey, Ewan.